Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. You know, all weekend I've been watching the news, and Donald Trump, you know, everybody was saying, oh, no, he's never going to make it, so on and so forth. I don't know. Looks like a viable candidate to me, but that's another story. But he is saying some things that are pulling some people out of the woodwork, you know. So in any case, why isn't the question is why isn't the GOP standing up to Donald Trump? And, you know, because I got to think that somebody in the GOP, they've got to have some adults left. And they don't want things like, some of those unsavory people that are following Trump saying the things that they're saying. So help me talk about this. We've got Oliver Willis. Oliver, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Oliver, you're with Media Matters and you're a research fellow there. And we appreciate it. My question is why is the GOP not standing up to Donald Trump when he says anywhere from just silly stuff to attacking staffers, which, by the way, is taboo, okay? That's taboo. You don't attack staffers. Staffers aren't allowed to punch back, and I'm sorry, Donald Trump's punching down, which is another taboo.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of a pattern of his of just basically lashing out and attacking any and anyone. And I think one of the problems that, you know, that the GOP field seems to be having is that every time they have pushed back against him, every time they've tried to push back against him, it doesn't seem to hurt. It doesn't seem to hurt them at all. I mean, you know, you had Rick Perry, who was one of the first to come out and you know, slam Trump, and he made, you know, speeches slamming him. And, I mean, now he's firing staffers because his campaign's starting to run out of money. You had the same thing, you know, Jeb Bush pushed back a little bit, and he's dropped in the polls. He's, you know, in the latest Iowa poll that just came out today, he's in, I think, fourth or fifth place now. And I think, so you sort of have them, their inability to push back at Trump, and it's almost like they're afraid to do it now, and you have some of them that are actually, you know, copying some of his rhetoric, so now they're kind of looking at the media to, like, you know, Jeb Bush said recently, could you please treat him like the front runner, which basically is a plea to, you know, dig into him, like, you know, what often happens is you have the front runner, and then the media starts, you know, kind of piling on. I mean, we saw it about 10 years ago with, you know, when Howard Dean was the front runner for the Democrats, and you had people, you know, they get more scrutiny, they get more coverage, and sometimes, you know, they can stand the heat. You know, someone like President Obama was able to stand it back in 2008, but then you have others that wilt. But right now, I don't, you know, you don't really see any of this, for better or worse, as far as, you know, the Republican nomination goes. It's probably not great for the general election, but none of this seems to hurt Donald Trump. None of it. Even the, you know, even when he talked about going to church and then they looked into his church and he didn't go to that church, but none of it ever seems to hurt him, and they're kind of afraid. I think they're gun shy now.
Well, that makes sense, because he's not playing by the same rules that they're playing by.
Yeah, exactly. You don't usually make these kinds of, like, the statements that he makes and the sort of, like you said, going after staffers like that. It's not the usual way of doing things. And for, you know, a portion of the Republican base, that seems to be a popular thing, which is, you know, not the greatest thing for their party, but...
Well, yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, because we have seen over the last 8 years the Republicans working very hard to cultivate and breed the Second Amendment stand out in outside your religious organization or institution's house of worship with an AR-15 and guns for everybody, mm-hmm. and no entitlements for anybody, and oh, those veterans, they're just looking for entitlements, kind of wackos that every community has, and they've all glommed on to Trump, and I think the rest of our Republican friends are saying to themselves, oh my, I'm scared they're going to come after me, and number two, I'm scared they're not going to vote for me if we beat Trump. You know,
yeah,
so I mean,
yeah, Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of those situations, I think, where you have what, you know, some people have been calling like almost like a Frankenstein effect. You know, you have the basically the Republican Party, Fox News, et cetera, has built up this kind of, you know, like these people, they come out and they vote and they're part of the, you know, sort of conservative coalition. But then the problem is, generally speaking, they've been able to keep them, you know, you've been able to keep them in the basement. You know, they don't come out in the daytime because it scares off your average voter. But right now, you've got them, you know, loud and proud and out there. I mean, we documented recently that you have all these sort of white supremacists and hate groups that have, like, explicitly endorsed Trump. And they said, you know, he's saying what they want to hear. And, I mean, even if he sort of tepidly, you know, says, oh, well, I don't want those guys supporting me, he's not exactly, you know, giving them a sister soldier moment. So they're out there, and that's, you know, for, I'm sure for the Republican Party, who has been sort of, you know, they've been at least trying to talk a game about attracting, you know, minority voters, especially Latino voters. Like, this is sort of a nightmare. But at the same time, you have their candidates that are being pushed by the conservative media machine to, you have to pander to this sentiment now, because that seems to be, at least for right now, what's working. And I mean, you know, we saw something like this in 2012 when their media is built up to sort of encourage these same guys that you were talking about. And then they do that during the primary season, but then come the general election, they can't get the stench off them. And that creates a problem for them.
Well, Oliver, this is anecdotal, and I realize that, and I know this, but you're probably going to get a kick out of this just like with everybody else. At lunch over the weekend, sitting at the table away from me, couple talking about the election, talking about Trump, and the woman said if Trump wins the primary, she's voting Democratic.
Right. I can believe it.
Yeah. Really? Well, there goes 53% of the population, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a huge, huge problem that they just haven't been able to wrap themselves around. Because, like I said, every time they sort of use, what you know, like what you said, the traditional way of going after someone like this is to either point out, you know, in the past where he supposedly had all these Democratic positions and say that he's a big flip-flopper, which has, you know, been their line of attack for years now. It doesn't work. It just seems to bounce right off of him. You know, he seems to be immune to all of it. And you know, and like you said, in general election, maybe anecdotal, but I suspect that it's a little more than that, that it will be toxic for them.
I agree. You know, and we're going to do this superior program. It's going to be great. Everybody's going to sorry. Oliver, how do we find out more about you and what you do for Media Matters?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at O. Willis, and just go visit us at MediaMatters.org.
Fantastic, man. If you include us in the tweet, at the Union Edge, we'll retweet it for you, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Oliver Willis, Media Matters Research Fellow. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.